Greetings, everyone. My name is William Porter. Welcome to this edition of Storytelling Time. Thank you, Lord, for being with us today, in spirit and in truth. Our foundation scripture is 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 47. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let God be exalted. The rock of my salvation. The title of the podcast today is a miracle. But what exactly is a miracle? I think we all can agree that miracles don't happen often. Also, it's almost always something good that happened, usually unexpected. The dictionary gives us this definition of a miracle: a surprising and welcome event that is not explicable by natural or scientific laws and is therefore considered to be the work of a divine agency. The story in today's podcast is a miracle that happened to lead character Jason Lilly, who was in a horrific automobile accident while he and his family were on their way to a church event. But he survived an accident that should have killed him, based on the description of his injuries that the doctors treating him gave. But he survived, and today's story gives some of the details of how he did survive such an accident. But before we get started with our story, I'd like to continue to encourage those of you who are writing your book along with me and other listeners who may be taking this journey. And you know, writing a book is like taking a journey. Like, say, on a long trip. So what do you do when you take a long trip? Me and my wife recently went on a cruise, and we spent a whole year before we set sail preparing for the trip. So obviously you have to prepare. Well, the same is true when you start on a journey of writing a book. Just like an actual trip someplace, any place, you have to first determine where you're going. In a similar way, when you're writing a book, you have to first determine what you're going to write about. And I might add, what you're going to write about can be summarized in the title that you select for your book. On an actual trip, not only do you have to decide where you're going, but you also have to plan for your destination. That is, what you're going to do once you arrive. How long you're going to stay, as well as consider the kind of weather you might have to deal with, not to mention lodging arrangements. Well, in writing, you do the same thing. That is, once you decide what you're going to write about in general, as expressed in your title, you have to decide on the kind of subjects that you're going to write about, in particular, as expressed in the name of the chapters you develop. We talked about this before, but I think it's worth repeating some of the principles that will be the key to your success. If you remember, I mentioned that there are two things you need to do to get started being an author. First, you need to develop a title for your book. Now, your title will identify what you generally will write about. Second, you need to develop an outline, which is your description of the particular topics that you will write about. These topics will become your chapters, as I just mentioned. And, of course, these chapters will ultimately will make up your book. Recently, I was surfing the internet and came across 5 tips for planning for the perfect travel itinerary if you're going to take a trip. As a matter of fact, you might want to use this information the next time you travel someplace. But these tips can also be used to help you complete your book. In fact, writing a book, in a sense, is like taking a trip someplace. to some destination. The thing is that your destination as an author is not a physical place. It's the completion of a book. And this is where we want to go, to have a published book. So here are the tips, the five tips that you should remember. The first tip is to be realistic. Let me give you an example. If you're planning to go someplace for your vacation, you probably wouldn't want to go to, say, the North Pole. The reason? Well, first, it would probably cost more than what you would want to spend. And second, it'd be too cold. The same thing applies to writing. You wouldn't want to write about something that you have no interest in. But I think that you could see yourself writing about something you really like or are familiar with. Then writing becomes so much easier. The second tip is to consider efficiency versus budget. This second tip is kind of related to the first, because one reason you wouldn't go to the North Pole, for example, would be because, as I said with the first tip, it would cost too much and would be just too cold, at least for most people. And what would you do there? By the same token, you'd want to write the kind of book that you know you can afford to complete, that you're most likely to complete. Let's face it, publishing a book can be very, very expensive. So you might want to limit the size of your book to minimize cost, as well as to consider the possibility of self-publishing. And then the third tip is to think logically. As an example of thinking logically is that if you're planning on taking an actual trip to some place, especially if it's a long trip, you'll know to make sensible decisions. Decisions like, how are you going to get to your destination? You'll have to decide whether you're going to fly, drive, ride the bus, or some other mode of transport. Well, let me backtrack a moment. You might want to avoid taking a bus. Now, I'm really kidding, but there's nothing wrong with taking a bus and bus travel in general. It just might take a little longer. Longer than what you might want to take in going on your vacation. Anyway, once you get there, you probably would move forward with the things that you already had planned to do. So let's be real about this. So to be successful in writing your book, make logical decisions, especially when developing the manuscript, such as when you're going to write. Is it in the mornings? Is it in the afternoons, at night? And you'll also have to determine where you're going to write. Is it best for you to go to the library, at home, at work? These types of questions are important for you to answer. The fourth tip is to be flexible. On an actual trip someplace, you would allow yourself to deviate from the plans you may have already established. For example, once you arrive, you might find out about a nice restaurant that exists that you had not considered before, or to experience something that you find appealing that wasn't a part of your original plans. In a similar way, in writing, you always have to make adjustments depending on how you feel at any given time and other commitments. For example, I know I'm an author, and as one in this chosen profession, you might think that I always want to write. Well, that's not really the case. There are times when I simply don't feel like writing. At those times, when I don't want to write, I really don't force myself to write. Sometimes you need to get out of character. Let me tell you a story, a short story. You know, while I was growing up, I used to be a jokester. I loved telling jokes, kidding people, making fun. It's like one time I heard this minister tell his congregation. He said, next week I plan to preach about the sin of lying. To help you understand my sermon, I want you all to read Mark 17. The following Sunday, as he prepared to deliver his sermon, the minister asked for a show of hands. He wanted to know how many had read Mark 17. Every hand went up. The minister smiled and said, "Mark has only 16 chapters. I will now proceed with my sermon on lying, the sin of lying." Anyway, let me get back on point here. Like I said, I usually don't force myself to write. When I don't feel like it, I just take it easy for a while, then start back later when I get energized to write again. But be careful. You don't want to spend too much time away from your purpose as an author. Give yourself a break sometimes, but get back into it. That is, get back into writing as soon as possible. The fifth and final tip is to ask an expert. If you're not familiar with where you're going, it's wise to get information from someone who is familiar with the place you're planning a trip to. I remember when I was teaching, I had a summer workshop to attend in Denver, Colorado. I didn't have any place to stay, didn't know anyone or anything about Denver. Never been there before. So before I left, I called a realtor in that city and asked about places to stay temporarily. And I asked about some of the other things as well that I could possibly do while being there. To make a long story short, because of the expert advice I got before making the trip, I eventually did make the trip, and it turned out to be very successful. Just as you would get expert advice before making a trip someplace, the same applies in writing a book. The more often you rely on credible sources, the greater chances you are to be successful in writing your book. You need to get as much information as you can get before making decisions. And that's what these podcasts are about, giving you useful information so that you can be successful as an author. These are just some ideas you can consider as you continue your quest at becoming a professional writer. Stay with us. We'll be right back with our story of the week. Welcome back. We continue now with the chapter reading. And the title of this week's reading is Miracle. Jason had just experienced a church service in the hospital room where the doctor suggested that he eat a good meal. And that's what he did. Not long after Jason had his meal, Dr. Jensen returned to Jason's room and delivered some information that would seem almost unbelievable to a sensible person. But God works in the supernatural, and not all his work can be understood without realizing that his ways are not our ways. Thankfully, humanity can learn of his ways through the scripture and by the Holy Spirit, at least when we are willing to listen and pay attention and trust what the Spirit is trying to communicate to us. As Terry and Jessica had gone home for a little while, Dr. Jensen had returned to where Jason was lying to give him detailed information about his injuries, as he said he would. Dr. Jensen described his injuries as severe and explained that he had several broken bones, but none of his vital organs were damaged to any great extent. He showed Jason an x-ray of the damage done to his upper torso as a result of the collision. As Jason viewed the screen, he was amazed at what he saw and what the doctors described to him. The x-ray showed areas that were in darker shades along with strings of white. The long visible white strings were Jason's ribs, and the darkened spots were the areas of his body enclosed by the rib cage. After a while, other doctors who had been assisting Dr. Jensen in his examination of Jason came in the room to help explain the injuries that he had. One doctor told Jason that the impact of the collision resulted in the steering wheel moving in such a way as to crush some of Jason's left rib cage, the area where the ribs are not quite as thick as they are in the front of the torso. They continued to explain to him that the x-rays revealed that the part of his rib cage that protected his heart was not damaged and acted as a shield to this vital organ, which therefore was not exposed to the direct impact of the steering wheel's pressure on his chest. As the doctors continued to explain, the amazing thing was that several ribs beneath and above the heart were severely damaged. Dr. Jensen could not explain why parts of Jason's rib cage was severely damaged and another area, the area that was directly above his heart, was not. Based on the doctor's description of the damage, Jason knew that God had been with him during the whole ordeal. Dr. Jensen went on to indicate that if the pressure of the steering wheel against the side of his chest had punctured the ribs across from his heart, the impact would have severely damaged this vital organ, probably beyond repair. In such a scenario, the doctors believed that Jason likely would not have survived the accident. Although bewildered by the news that the doctor had given him, Jason was deeply thankful. He simply accepted the fact of the doctor telling him that he was fortunate to be alive. But Jason believed that it was God who did not allow the most vital organ in his body, his heart, to be damaged as a result of the accident. Dr. Jensen went over some of the other details of Jason's surgery and his recovery, but Jason could not wait to become strong enough to leave the hospital and to express his thankfulness. After talking with Dr. Jensen, Jason got some more rest in the afternoon prior to dinner. At that time, he ate a delicious meal and, as a result, a short time thereafter, gained more strength. During visiting hours later that evening, Terry and Jessica came to Jason's hospital room where they stayed and talked for hours. There would be other visitors to come by as well, including some of the Lily's fellow church members and a few friends and relatives. Jason had a lot to tell them about his survival and how God had blessed him and his family during the ordeal. So that's the story for this week. Next week, we'll conclude the story about the lilies. If you'd like to get a copy of the book that we're reading from, Miracles in the Lives of Ordinary People, just go to my website to get order information. That web address is www.williamporterlife.com. You can also go directly to amazon.com to pick up a copy. Well, so much for this podcast. In closing the program today, just remember this. Despite your situation, whether good or bad, there's always more. More good things coming your way. Have a great day and have a great week, and I'll see you right back here the next time.